When trust matters, you can count on all Four Seasons Garage Doors in Nashville. Professional garage door installation and repair from a family-owned and operated business. Visit allfourseasonsgarages.com/Nashville to learn more, because J Mart and Ramon is powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. I'm Rhett Bryan from Titans Radio, filling in for Jason Martin, who is a new dad, had a baby girl this week, Clara Gray, 6 pounds, 8 ounces. Hey, do us a favor. Continue to send love and blessings and prayers their way at J Mart Radio, because he is going to be out for a few days acclimating to fatherhood in this. The show at J Mart and Ramon. Jonathan Schaefer making it happen at Schaefer on Sports. The VFL and 11-year NFL veteran Ramon Foster at Ramon Foster on Twitter, and myself at Rhett B. Tennessee on Twitter. All right,
yes,
man.
Indeed.
The 8 o'clock hour, man. We got a lot of stuff going on in here, man.
We do. You remember we were talking about the offseason coaches and trainers and stuff like that. Who was it? Mahogany Woods tweeted me on Twitter and said, the quarterback guru coach I'm thinking about that a lot of guys go to is Quincy Avery.
Yes.
That's who that is.
Yep.
When we're speaking about
Chuck Smith does it for pass rushers
Chuck
in Atlanta.
Smith does it, yep. And Michael Johnson has his speed. You got Pete Camarito and in Florida. So many guys out there that you prefer to go train with in the offseason, man. Very, very interesting on how, again, we make Duke Merriweather as a guy for offensive linemen. Mm-hmm. Also, LaCharles Bentley is another offensive line guy that guys go to as far as offseason training. Now, I don't know where Roger Saffold is, but he's lifting the house is what he's doing this offseason.
I mean, he might as well, you know.
Roger's my guy, so
he's the he's the modern day version in terms of like power and those kinds of workouts, which are impressive.
Yeah,
you know what that reminds me of? The Hall of Fame lineman from the Seattle Seahawks, Walter Jones.
Yes,
who would go back home to Alabama, and he is not pushing a sled; he's pushing about a 74 Impala, what I call a land yacht.
Land yacht,
you know, 90 feet long, right? And he is pushing that thing around like it's nothing.
Yeah,
and I'm like, you know what? Old school country offensive lineman, country tough, country strong, pushing an old Impala around.
But that's
his workouts. You know, Jerry Rice ran the hill.
I was going to get to that. Sweetness.
Yes.
He ran the hill. Hell, he just ran is what he did.
Well, sweetness.
And he did the cards during commercial breaks. I think Ray Lewis said that he did that, too. You have a deck of cards, flip them, whatever it was, ace through 10 or ace through queen, jack, or whatever it was, and you did that amount of numbers in between breaks.
And you know, Walter Payton. And this is, and Coach Dave McGinnis can vouch for this because he was on those staffs with him for several years in Chicago. Do you know he would take the liners out of his cleats and run with his?
Hold up.
Yeah, he there was something about he wanted to feel the ground underneath him. That's how tough this. And think about this now. Now the guy that was the original voice of the Tennessee Oilers before Mike Keith became the voice of the Titans. Joe McConnell, up north, and a dear friend of our broadcast. He was the voice of the Purdue Boilermakers for football and basketball. He was the Indiana Pacers voice back in the ABA days. And he was one time the voice of the White Sox broadcast when Harry Carey was on those before the Cubs days. And Harry Carey. And he was also the voice of the Chicago Bears at one time. And, in fact, was the voice of the Bears the day that Walter Payton broke the NFL all-time rushing record. And Walter, again, he's no liners in his cleats and had like 103 fever in the flu that day and broke the rushing record in Chicago at Soldier Field.
I mean, you want to talk about
I was very fortunate to meet Walter Payton one time early in radio at the other facility that we had over at 506 Second Avenue South and where the station used to be located. And I was producing a morning show then, a music format. And this guy comes in to talk on the neighboring station in our building on their morning show, and it's early, and this guy's got shades on, and I'm flying around getting ready for the show and pulling news feeds and this and that and the other, and then it hits me, and he's just this soft-spoken guy, and he's like, "Hey, good morning, how you doing?"
Huh.
And I come back, and I'm like, "Excuse me, I'm sorry, excuse my ignorance." I said, "Sweetness, Walter Payton?" He said, "That's me." He was here in town. Someone was sponsoring him on a speaking tour, and he was talking to school children in the area. And I'm like, gold jacket right there.
Yeah.
The man.
One of those guys of that era, man, that I had met, and it was just super, super cool. Of course, we're in, you know, in Pittsburgh going to a game at you know, watching Pitt play. I forget who they were playing. But we were going up to the seats we were at, and guess who was waiting for an elevator also? You'll appreciate this. Tony Dorsett.
One of the best.
You want to talk about just, and my boys didn't understand who they had just met.
Sure.
Okay, just didn't fully grab, like.
This isn't your teammate, Le'Veon Bell. Oh, no. That was more relatable.
Yeah, that's right? More relatable. Yeah. It wasn't him. And he was just sitting there chilling with a buddy of his. And I'm asking for my boys. I'm like, can they take a picture? And of course, same way you said Sweetness was. Real chill, mellow, just.
I still have his. It's one of the few people I've asked for an autograph, and I have it on old radio station letterhead framed and matted at home.
Yeah, and dude, when I tell you, that was one of the coolest moments for me, because I'm like, you're the embodiment of a person that laid down, you know, to make this league what it was, but it's also you're around for me to actually see you and just be like, my boys won't understand this, but this is one of the coolest moments they'll ever have, you know, as far as meeting somebody of your stature, you know, and just your prominence. That was a cool, I'm getting chills just thinking about.
I mean, I think about his run on Monday Night Football, and, you know, of course, he was a Pitt Panther. He played for Johnny Majors before he was a coach of the Vols, and, you know.
Go ahead, my bad.
That's the impression I get every time the Titans go to Pittsburgh to play the Steelers. Those guys all come in at some point. I remember the first time, even at Old Three Rivers, and certainly at Heinz Field, the first time I passed the hallway and saw Mel Blount and saw Elsie Greenwood.
So cool.
You know, I'm like, Mel Blount, I'm like, he was the prototypical size safety before safeties are, you know, like guys. You know, there's a guy that's going to be drafted in a couple of weeks, Hamza Nasruldeen from Florida State, who some people think he's a linebacker, some people think he's a safety. He played safety. He can, you know, play nickel. He can do whatever. He can come down in the box. Mm-hmm. And he's a big dude, 6'3", like that, long like him.
Yeah.
But I remember seeing him. And, of course, Jack Hamm had been on their broadcast for forever. And seeing Jack Lambert and seeing Rocky Blyer.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
And you're just going down just the history of guys that deserve that type of recognition. It's not a matter of,
they won,
you know,
four world championships in the 70s.
And I say that because it's not a matter of you just talking about one team. It's honestly a matter of you just appreciating the history of the game of football.
I know Yellow Jackets and Ring of Honor guys, ring of names and rings of honor when I see them.
Yes, 100%. On the other side of that, though, Rhett, I saw a guy, didn't walk up to him and didn't go, you know, to introduce myself. But, of course, in this world of entertainment and athletes and, you know, just a lot of guys know musical people. You know, music and sports go together. Like, rappers want to be athletes and athletes want to be rappers. Or,
sure,
you know, athletes want to be singers, whatever you want to call it. It happens, okay? So, in that dealing, you meet people, okay? One of my teammates, Chris Kimoatu, knew a guy from the West Coast. Knew a guy that you went to the T-Pack to go see, Vanilla Ice.
Okay. Rob Van Winkle.
There's a story that's between the guy that I'm about to tell you about that I saw one time. We were on the South Side, and I'm walking to, we call him Juicy, Chris Kimoatu. We walked to Juicy, big Polynesian guy. We call him Juicy. Imagine
had
that.
A brother that played Ma'ake, Kimoatu.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay. So I'm walking to his place. And when I describe this to you, you're going to be like, yep, I know who it is. But outside on the cell phone was this big black guy in a red jacket, smoking a big cigar, having a conversation with somebody. Marion Suge Knight.
Oh, wow.
One of the just, is that Suge? You know, like,
you know him when you saw it.
You know it.
Sure.
You know the scene of him wearing the red blazer and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And the cigar. And
there was no question.
There was no question.
It wasn't no lookalike. It wasn't a doppelganger.
It was
right?
No lookalike.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Suge Knight.
Mm-hmm.
And I ain't finna go up to him.
Oh, no. No, I wouldn't do that.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I would steer clear of that.
He on the phone. I'm not about to interrupt Suge.
You know, maybe you walk by and just respect and just keep walking.
The urban legend was that he hung Vanilla Ice off a balcony, okay?
Yeah, that's why I say just keep walking.
Just keep walking. Yeah. But he was one of those folks, man, that I crossed paths with that, I mean, we talk about Death Row Records and just what all of that meant to.
That's something we should have gotten into at some point in these shows the last couple of days, is where's a few times you've ever been starstruck.
Yeah.
Because I've met a lot of famous people, and I try to carry myself accordingly. The first time that the Titans, when I started traveling in 1999, and they were still in the AFC Central Division, the first time I went to Baltimore,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going down to the locker room to do my thing, and I go out the tunnel to go look and see, because I leave just a couple of minutes early, because I think they were actually losing at that point. And I was like, let me go ahead and go down and get ready. So it was inside 2 minute warning. And I run smack dab into, and I mean literally run into, and had to apologize to Johnny Unitas.
Really?
And I was like, holy Moses, this is the guy. This is the one of the best quarterbacks pre-19, you know, modern day.
Yeah.
Super Bowl. He's the man.
The
black high tops, man. This is the guy.
Simply put, that's exactly what it was. Yeah, that's a broad conversation to be had right mm-hmm. there about who are you starstruck.
I saw Stevie Wonder in the airport one time. My wife came to pick me up when this was pre-9/11, flying on the team charter, coming back through BNA.
Yeah.
And she came to pick me up, and he was going through screening process.
Get out of here.
Like, golly, man.
I'll tell you another
Stevie
guy.
Stevie Wonder.
I met that was really cool. Small, way smaller than I thought. Hugh Jackman. X-Man. This is at the height of
life. I shoot from the floor up.
I see.
Yeah, same kind of thing.
I'm talking a small human being,
sure.
man.
All right. We're going to get behind if we don't get ahead here. All Four Seasons Garage Doors, that's who powers J. Martin Ramon. More next with former Vanderbilt and NFL guard Chris Williams on the other side on 104.5 The Zone. How about that?
Golly, Andy.
Batumi Juicy. Right?
Golly, yeah, by M-Tune, right?
Yeah.
M-Tune, yeah.
Old school 80s stuff right there.
I got to tweet Andy, let him know he's killing it.
Yeah, this is good stuff right here. It's J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone, powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors. Batumi with Juicy. I heard that one in a minute.
Golly.
I still remember it, though. Old DJ still comes back. Ramon Foster is right here. Jonathan Schaefer making it happen. I'm Brett Bryan, filling in for Jason Martin on J. Martin. And Ramon, we are joined now by former Vanderbilt guard and NFL guard Chris Williams on the show. Chris, great to have you on, and we got lots to talk about, Ramon.
Yeah, we do, man. Chris, again, as Rhett just said, welcome to the show, man. How are you this morning, first and foremost?
Man, I'm great, man. It's a beautiful morning up here in Cross Plains, man. So
Cross Plains.
I'm in good shape.
There it is, man. Well, let's just get into it a little bit, man. Your school is making a little bit of headway with just some renovations that are going on. You guys seem to be taking a step in the right direction. But hold up. Before we even get to that, I don't think we even congratulated you on air for just being right on the Clark Lee hiring. How? How did you pull this off? Okay, and I know, okay, you played in the NFL. The school may have reached out and just, hey, we need your help in getting
He may have a crystal ball somewhere.
He
right?
might. How did you feel about seeing this come to the forefront the way it did?
Man, I wish I had insider information on it. I did not. I felt like he was the right fit. And the reason being is Clark, since he played there, he can come back and look at what we have and mm-hmm. be like, okay, Vandy is a lot better facility-wise than when I left. And even though they have a long way to go, he can look at what he had at Notre Dame and kind of cherry pick and be like, okay, we can get this, this, and this. Then I think we can recruit effectively and bring ourselves up a notch as far as the program, as opposed to when you come in and you're like, we need to revamp the whole thing, and that's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
They're down there on West End. They don't have enough space to just do everything and turn it into some of these, what some of the other SEC programs have, even though that's what they deserve, their SEC school. It's just not feasible. So I thought that was a good hire by them. And him bringing back Earl Bennett, Norvall McKenzie, keeping John, I mean, it's just, it's like Vandy family reunion up there right now. Now, hopefully, win some football games.
Yeah, hoping to win some football games. That is what everybody's trying to do. Even my school right now, as I'm sure you'd be glad to take a shot if I gave you the opportunity.
it's still a school in Knoxville?
See what I'm saying?
Hey, now.
See what I'm saying, man.
I thought y'all got suspended for something. I don't even keep up anymore. I don't, you know.
Wow. Shots across the bow this morning. There we go.
This is what it's
baseball season. I'm feeling good about it.
Yeah, and so am I. That matchup, by the way, we might have to put something on that, okay?
That's going to be a great one.
You got my phone number.
Look at Seacrest.
He's got some arms up there, too, man. Kumar Rocker.
Kumar and Leitner. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, Leitner. Like, wow, that is awesome. I'm glad to see you guys are doing more than just baseball, though, Chris, while we're at it.
Yeah. I mean, the money they committed to do, I mean, it's just from the alumni, it's just kind of wait and see.
Yeah.
Just want to see what they're going to do and give Clark a chance. And, you know, it's all good this time. Everybody's positive this time of year.
Yeah.
So once fall hits, we'll see how it goes. And he's going to have time. It's a learning curve. I don't think he's ever been a head coach before, but he's been in Notre Dame for a while. So, you know, just give him a chance to get in there and put the system in place.
When it comes to, you know, the commitment that you guys and the AD have made to getting Vanderbilt caught up to the rest of the SEC and just honestly all the Division I football, you go to facilities sometimes and you see these programs and you look at what college looked like to compare it to the NFL, it's usually a step down, Chris. I mean, colleges have the best facilities, I think, in all sports.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when the commitment came down for you guys to say, look, we're putting $300 million into this university, get the athletic side done correctly, and we're not going to spend it foolishly either. What was the feeling from you, man, as a former guy that's played there, All-American, just everything that's embodied what Vanderbilt is, them finally showing a commitment to the athletic side of Vanderbilt?
I mean, it's about time. I mean, it's just on one hand, you say you committed to athletics and you want to be successful there. And until you throw the money at it, I mean, like you said, most guys take a step down of facilities when they go from college to pro, especially some of San Diego, Arizona, some of the places that have really nice weather, their facilities are not good at all.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then, I mean, it's all at the same time, it's almost laughable. It's like, I mean, $300 million is a lot of money.
Yeah.
But a lot of these places will put $300 million in about every year.
Yeah.
Every other year. So while it's exciting, no doubt, I think Vanderbilt has to take a unique approach as far as being on the cutting edge of technology and what you can offer these players. You're not going to have the biggest facility. You're not going to have the biggest weight room. And you just can't go out and be like, we're going to be the biggest. You got to kind of carve in your niche and make the stadium small but really, really nice, and where people just want to come and have an experience on West End. And it's the same thing with facilities. You can't have a big facility, but just make everything super nice. And the commitment is a step in the right direction. They've been recruiting all these years with what they have, so anything more is better. But I think it's a trap. Even though we do play SEC teams, I think it's most SEC schools are state schools, and it's just a different – thing.
Yeah.
Former Vandy alum and NFL alum Chris Williams with us here on J. Mark Ramon on 104.5 The Zone. Chris, just announced yesterday as a part of these upgrades is they're going to build luxury suites in the north, above the north end zone of this thing. So Dudley Field's going to look different. It's going to really transform in all of this. It's got to be exciting to see that as a former player going through there, knowing that, as Ramon put it, kind of getting caught up with the rest of the world.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's exciting. I've had a suite up there before. It's a different, you know, it's definitely a different feel. The windows, like the suites at the field, the windows didn't open and stuff, so they couldn't use it for concerts. It's really nice just to be coming to the 21st century. So.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, any improvements tonight, it's exciting as an alum for them to finally be making these. We've talked about them since, I'm sure, even before I got to school there in 03. And it's exciting just for them to come out and really commit some serious cash to it, because that's what it's going to take.
Mm-hmm. Chris, as we enter into what we like to call the season of lies, and that's the NFL draft, because everybody's got a mock draft. Everybody's got the prospect that they want and who you should pick. And, you know, the season of lies. For a guy like yourself, man, former first-round draft pick, just walk the people through what that process was like for you, you know, before the pandemic and everything, and how you approached it as a young man, you know, turning into a professional.
Oh, I mean, my draft experience was nuts. You know, I was a fifth-year senior. I decided not to train at like one of the big places. I stayed there and trained with John Sisk at Vandy because I had put on, you know, almost 80 pounds with him. So I figured that's where I needed to be at. And went to the Senior Bowl. I think I was like a third round pick and played my way into the first round of the Senior Bowl. And then the combine, like, I was like, I knew this year. I told my buddies this year, I was like, be looking for some fast 40s this year.
Yeah.
The guys were comfortable. They were at home. You went to the combine, right, Ramon?
Yeah, I did.
That is the most, that's the most grueling thing.
Pressure.
I don't think people understand, like, it's intentionally a pressure cooker.
Yeah.
You don't sleep. They keep you up late at night interviewing with teams. They wake you up early. You don't sleep. You got medical all day. All the teams poking and prodding. Then next thing you know, you running. And you lift it.
Yeah.
And it's the combine's a grind, man. So it's not surprising when you see guys kind of have some wonky numbers out there and then correct them on their pro days. And then you get the pro day and you got to kind of, by the time I got the pro day, I just had to work out football stuff. And,
yeah.
And I had a medical recheck in Indy. I had to go back for a medical recheck a later date. And then, so I got married April 5th. The year I got drafted.
Yeah.
And the draft was on April 26th, so it's 21 days. And I had like 16 team interviews between the 5th and the 26th. So I got married and I got on a plane like 2 days later on a Monday. I got married on a Saturday, 2 days later on a Monday, and I was team after team. I was just hopping across the country interviewing with teams. It was
You are a glutton for punishment.
Yeah.
I mean, you ran yourself through not only the combine, but then a personal combine.
Well, I mean, it was just.
But that's the way it went, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wanted to play in the NFL. That's not why I came to Vandy necessarily. I wanted a shot, but I didn't know it'd be like that. So I was going, I mean, I was on the ride at that point. You can't turn anything down. Like, I'm not going to come. I'm not going to come see your team. I didn't know. I mean, Lovie Smith came to PF Chang's and we had lunch, but you never knew what was smokescreen and what wasn't. You never knew because I went and interviewed with the Titans. Because they get free visits from guys that are in town,
local,
you know?
Local prospects, that's right.
And I remember going in and sitting down with Munchak, and he's like, we ain't going to draft you. He's like, you know, you'll probably be gone by the time we get up there. But we walked and talked and had a great conversation and things like that.
Yeah, they were picking 24th that year. They took Chris Johnson. And you were picked 14th. Yeah. So, yeah, they weren't even in the neighborhood.
Chris was great for him, you know? I think there were 7 tackles taken in the first round.
Dang. I believe that's right.
Yeah. So it was. It was crazy, and knowing those guys, and I did my, I had a draft party. You get your name called, man, and the world just starts spinning real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right, because it was Jake Long.
Wow.
And Ryan Clady.
Yep.
Then you, then Brandon Albert, and Gosder Chairless, that's right.
Dwayne Brown.
Jeff Ota, Sam Baker.
Wow.
And Dwayne Brown. That's right.
Dwayne Brown.
You got it.
That's a nice class, though, man.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Really?
I think everybody played for a decent amount of time. I ended up moving. After my back surgery, left tackle just wasn't really feasible anymore.
Yeah.
So I ended up kicking his side, and I got 7 years out of it. I ain't mad about it. It's just
it's the process.
Man, it was such a – man, I actually – you end up kind of reliving it this time of year every year. Mm-hmm. And that's why I had a – man, I tried to have empathy for Isaiah Wilson and stuff, and that's a tough situation to come into. But then at a certain time, you just see a kid shooting himself in the foot, and you're like, man, you just – God, I just wish this kid would get it together, man. You got the whole world laying at your feet, and then once you get labeled a problem kid, then you got – that's a whole – now you got to rehab your whole image. It's just, you know, you as going into the draft as a player – you know, it's like the NFL is like actuaries, you know. They're trying to assess their risk. And if you know, like, you got any problems off the field, you got any problems on the field, what is it? And so this is a balancing act. And once your problems off the field outweigh your play on the field, you're gone. It don't matter who you are, really.
Yep.
That voice you hear is Chris Williams, former Vanderbilt guard, and certainly NFL a 7-year veteran there. You talked about how crazy your draft experience was. All right, now, did you go to, was it New York City, I guess, at Radio City Music Hall then, in 08?
Yeah, that's what it was.
So you went there, you were in the green room?
No, I don't even think I got invited. I wouldn't have went if I did, but I don't think I got invited that year.
So what were you doing till you hanging out till you got your name called? What was going on?
Oh, I had a party, so it was like all my I had a party here in Nashville. It was Bailey's on Broadway.
Sure.
And all my family came, and
yeah, Bailey's
all my teammates came and stuff. It was a neat experience. Because when Cutler got drafted in 06, he had his, and we all went. And for me, when I saw Jay get taken in the first round, that's when it became real to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was like, oh, player from Vandy get drafted. Hi, you know?
Yeah, he was, what, ninth point, overall, I think?
Yeah.
He was sixth, I think. Ninth,
well, that's,
like
yeah,
that.
That's right, because I was at that draft in 06. Wow.
And we thought he was going to go. We was hoping he went to the Titans, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But we, you know, and once he got drafted, we heard his name called up. We were like, yo, we can do this. You know, I was a redshirt sophomore at the time. I was like, hey, man, if we grind it out, you can get drafted in the first round from Vanderbilt.
Wow.
We just hadn't seen it at that point.
And you got that phone call, and that had to be surreal for you, though, right?
Oh, it was nuts. Like I said, my brand new wife's there. My grandfather came up. My parents, everybody I love, you know, is there, and my sisters and stuff. And I mean, they call it, comes across the TV, and then, like I said, the next thing you know, I'm on the phone with like the Tribune and the Sun Times, and then we eat and stuff, and then the next morning I'm on the plane to Chicago. And I remember getting off the plane. I flew commercial, me and my wife. And you get off the plane, I'm walking off the jet bridge, and Tom Dillon, Barrett security at the time, meets me. And then there's cameras, like,
yeah,
you know, there's press there. And it was nuts, man. Press conference. And
then next thing you know, you're out there in rookie minicamp.
Yeah,
it's all real, yeah, at that point, right?
Yeah. Then you're in the basement in Chicago, and you're in the dungeon, and then like all of a sudden there's a target on your back. Now it flips. You know, it's like, yeah, you went from, oh, the first round, and now it's like, we hate you. Now you got to pay your dues, rookie.
The question I got for you, and I'm sure you had this thought, though, too, because I think all of us do, because we fear failing, okay? When the opportunity came for you to become a first round and became real, that's one thing. But Rhett asked me earlier, and we had a whole segment on it, too, in a sense, but what was your plan had this not worked out? You know, I don't know if it was just me, and I know you're a smart guy. I'm a smart guy. We think of things, but there's always that point, though, Chris, as we go into draft season, not everybody's going to be drafted. And you know that like I know, and not all draft picks will actually make a team, too. So
yeah,
aside from, you know, being a first rounder, before you got to that point, what was the actual plan, if you had one, though, Chris?
You know, but my plan at that point was, you know, that was, in my mind, that was the whole reason I went to Vandy was, okay, I need to graduate. So if football doesn't work out, you know, I have a backup plan in a sense. But I can't say I had a definitive plan, like, okay, if I don't get drafted or something, I'm going to go do this. Because at that point, you know, going into it, like, maybe going into my senior year, I was like, you know, I'll have some job interviews or whatever lined up.
Right.
I kind of know what field I want to go into. But by the time my senior year started rolling, I was playing pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I knew I'd have a shot.
Right.
You know, I was like, okay, I'm going to get a chance to make a roster. But I can't really say I had like a laid out. I didn't have as good a plan as I had for not getting the NFL as I did for going.
Right.
That's for sure.
And
so,
and honestly, Chris, that was, you asked Rhett, that was my answer.
Yep.
I absolutely had no plan, Chris, other than trying to make it. And
yeah,
I say that to a point to where the NCAA and just the way we are as student, quotation mark, athletes go about the game, there is no real preparation. And so when you get to that point of what's next, a lot of us really don't have answers.
And honestly, you know as well as I do, you were great for Ramon, and I don't, at that point, I don't really think you have time to commit yourself to anything else.
Yeah.
I don't think, not even necessarily time. You probably do have time. The mindset requires it of you. Like, in order to make an NFL roster, that's really all the time you have time for.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell guys all the time, yes, you do need a backup plan. And you do, once you make a team and you kind of get your feet in the door, you know, start doing some things and diversifying and save your money, that kind of thing. But for most players, your best bet is to focus on playing, because that's where you're going to make the most money right now.
Yeah.
And then diversify from there. Like I, this drives me nuts. And it's a great, for Gronk and Marshawn Lynch and these guys, I didn't spend a dime on my contract. Just endorsements, Alvin Kamara. Hey, good for you. I was an offensive lineman. I had to live off my contract.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, hey, that would be a nice way to live. I wish I was getting $20 and $30 million a year in endorsements, or 10 or 5, or whatever it is.
Facts.
But
Chris,
that, you know, that just wasn't us.
Great visiting with you, and we've got to head to a break. It is so good visiting with you, and please don't be a stranger. We appreciate you being on with us this morning.
Yeah, we got to finish this conversation with you, Chris. We're up against a break, man, but this is a longer conversation. I like your perspective. So next week, yes?
Yeah, anytime.
You know. All right, sweet.
Let's go. Chris, I'll reach out to you, Chris.
Thanks for visiting us with here on J. Martin Ramon. Appreciate it.
We were just getting them cranked up.
Man, we are going to wrap up hour three. Yeah. That's going to be a good revisit with him next week. We're going to wrap up hour 3 next with Tell Me Something Good, presented by A Moment's Peace Salon and Day Spa. We're going to do that next, going to some positivity as we wrap up hour 3. J. Martin Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
Put on.
Yep.
On my city. Andy Staples.
He is the guest DJ, his list.
You may have eaten a jar of mayonnaise because you lost the bet. But boy, let me tell you, you got a lot of flavor on you, man. This is just, hey, I'm with it.
That's what she said.
Gotta do it.
As we wrap up hour 3 of J. Martin Ramon, it's time for some positivity. Tell me something good.
In a world of complaints and grievances.
I hate you. I don't even know you, and I hate your guts.
Sometimes you just want to lighten your day.
Thanks. I needed that.
This is Tell Me Something Good.
Tell me something good.
On 104.5 The Zone.
Tell me that you like it, yeah.
All right, you want to go first? You got to tell me something good?
Because I'll never follow you up, Red, okay? Your stories are better than mine, all right?
You ain't beating the Carlos Santana story.
I am not beating the Carlos Santana. But my tell me something good goes, it's in the sports world, and it's for Renaya Davis, man. Lady Vol, VFL, LVFL, yesterday got drafted 9th overall to the Minnesota Lynx. And that's special in itself. But as you can tell, they were doing it the draft for the most part. And
virtual.
She's virtual. Mm-hmm. She's around her family. And she's trying to get interviewed, okay? Mid-9th overall draft pick. And she's watching her highlights with her family. And just, she's like, ooh, that crossover. And Minnesota's like, we love your crossover, too. That's why you're number 9th overall. That's why you're number 9 overall. But seeing her joy, if you hadn't seen that tweet of her, go to her page, man. And watch her reaction. And again, the same way we congratulate Jason and his newborn with him and his wife, Abby. Celebrate Janaya, man. Renaya Davis, as she is 9th overall. And
there's another young lady that was drafted last night, and her family was on the Zoom camera, and her grandmother stole the show. I don't remember what player it was, but she's back over to over the player's right shoulder in the interview, and she is shaking her tail feather, man. She's ready to go. It was great.
That's good.
All right, I got a really good tell me something good. And this is a shout out to a young lady named Haley Arsenault. Haley Arsenault is a 29-year-old lady now. She wanted to be an astronaut when she was a kid. She went to a NASA camp and really was interested in all that stuff. Shortly thereafter, she was about 9-10 years old, she got a rare form of bone cancer. Was very ill. Went to St. Jude Children's Hospital in Memphis, as we know has helped lots and lots and lots of young people. And she beat cancer. She survived.
Wow.
And so much that she wanted to get in the medical field, and she is now a physician's assistant at St. Jude. But that's not where the story ends.
What?
It was announced on February the 1st there was going to be the first all just regular folks going up into space in an exhibition called Inspiration 4. Well, due to some generous St. Jude donors and some other folks behind the scenes, they have a seat for young Haley Arsenault. She is going to go into space later this year.
What?
So not only is she an inspiration that she beat cancer,
yeah,
wanted to help other children, and is now a physician's assistant at St. Jude's, she's going to go into space like she wanted to 20 years ago.
Wow. Dude, again, I knew you were bringing the heat. And that in itself, Rhett, I wish we had the round of applause, but the music of Tell Me Something Good is playing in the background. That's about as good as it get. Childhood cancer, and now being able to beat that and live
and making
that
a difference. And now her reward is she's going to go her ultimate dream and soar into space with other folks on those seats in inspiration for flight. And I'm not sure when that takes off, but that's later this year.
Even the fact that that's a thought, because you know what? With what she was facing, she wasn't supposed to even have this opportunity. Okay, and like you said, she's helping people. She's also getting an opportunity to live out her dream.
And I believe that her bone cancer was so bad, I believe she's an amputee as a result of it.
Man.
She's ain't nothing holding her back.
No, nothing holding
her back. I mean, that's the kind of stuff. You get up in the morning, you're like, man, I don't feel great, or I got something hurting. Just read something like that, and you're like, I don't have any problems.
No, I'm good to go.
Whatsoever.
That is telling me something good right there. Again, we love to interact with everybody. So hit us at J. Martin Ramon or at Ramon Foster or at Rhett Bryan.
At Rhett B. Tennessee.
At Rhett B. Tennessee or Schaefer on Sports, which you're telling me something good stories, because in this world of craziness, wildlife that we're living in, guess what? There's a lot of good, and as much bad carry the airways, we want to highlight the good. So
that's Rhett, right. That and awesome. Tell me something good, a Moments Peace Salon and Day Spa. You can get your gift certificates for that. You can buy and print them right there at amomentspeace.com. Hour four of J. Martin Ramon is on the way at 9:20, WWE Hall of Famer Jeff Jarrett. But up next, Ron Slay is in the house.
Slizzle.
We're going to be ready. And J. Martin Ramon, it continues next on 104.5 The Zone.